The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Our sermon title today is How Mothers Can Become Moms. How Mothers Can Become Moms. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And it states, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, thanking you, Lord, for the joy of celebrating the day of our moms. Lord, I know that each one of us has a story to tell about our mothers. Some are very, very good stories, and some are stories that bring tears to our eyes. But Lord, nothing has escaped your notice with us and our moms. And Father, let this be a good day of remembrance. Bring to our minds the things that are good, that we might rejoice in those things. Let us be able to honor our moms as best we can. And Father, as we study your word today and using Hannah as a model of a mom, let us be able to learn and understand the things that you would have us to know. But Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus the Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. As we learned in the last several weeks about our extreme home makeover, we came to the conclusion that our model homes have fallen to disrepair. You know, the whole idea of our family has been under attack and under fire for some time. And so we've reaped the sorrow of some of that in our own individual lives. I know many of us have... not me, but many of you have kind of quirky behavior. And some of it is because of the home you came up in, all right? And it makes you a little bit quirky. So not bad, just quirky, you know? So, you know, that's all part of the life that we've lived in since the fall of Adam and our first mom, Eve, so very, very long ago. So I want to set a premise this morning that mothers are biological, but moms are a gift to children. Moms are biological, but mothers are a gift to children. And I've got a video that we want to show you this morning. Talks a little bit about motherhood and moms. Jim, if you would. We're not sure. There we go. Thank you. Yeah, moms do that and a lot more, don't they? They're always there. Every direction we turn, our mothers are always there. I read a little something I want to bring to you this morning, contrasting moms and mothers. So there's a difference between a mother and a mom. A mother is merely the person that gives you life. A mom is a person that puts life in your eyes. It puts life in your smile. It puts life in your dreams. A mother puts the breath. Mother puts breath into your lungs. A mom is a person that takes your breath away. A mother is a person you think of when you wonder where you picked up all those bad traits. A mother is a person you think of when you wonder where all the good ones come from. A mother is a person you never want to become. A mom is a person that you aspire to be. Kind of a difference when you think of it in those terms. Moms face very, very difficult questions today. Some questions are, why can't I have children? Big, difficult question for a lot of women who are mothers and moms at heart. How do I balance my children and my career? How do I keep that teeter-totter from falling over? Can I be forgiven for an abortion I had? What about in vitro babies? What about snowflake babies? What about donor babies? What about surrogate moms? The list goes on and on. I could go on for quite some time about the issues that we face today in motherhood and in moms. And we won't answer all those questions today, but we're going to try to do our best to address some of them as best we can and find out the truth is that mothers really want to be moms, but they have sometimes trouble figuring out how to do that. So I want to start this morning by addressing the issue of how mothers can become moms. And first of all, you become a mom.
I was listening.
I had Jim's attention. You become a mom by making it a priority. All right? Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. We just read this, but I want to go back over it again. Now, remember the story of Hannah? Hannah wanted children. And at that time, her husband had more than one wife. God never blessed that and said that we should do that, but that's what he did. And his other wife had children, and they harassed poor Hannah all the time. She was always picked on because she didn't have any children, because children were the focal point of society at that time. And that's told a lot about a woman when she had children. And so she was praying earnestly about this, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Very interesting statement she makes here. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. So how do we balance? How do we balance children in the busyness of the 21st century that we live in? You know, it's really gotten to be too much for us, hasn't it? I mean, we're pulled in every direction, and there's nobody that's pulled more in a thousand different directions than the mothers and moms that live here in America. Just it seems like our attention is drawn so much that our minds race wildly about all the things we have to do, going here, going there. How do I solve this problem? Moms need to be chauffeurs, they need to be diplomats, they need to be peacemakers, they need to be school teachers, they need to be girlfriends, don't forget the husbands, they need to be there for the entire family, doing all the things that they do is cooking and cleaning and multiplicities of things, and in many cases being breadwinner, sole breadwinner for the family. It's not a difficult lot. It is a difficult lot that women face today. Not every woman makes a good mom. And there are mothers who are not good moms. Sometimes it's because they don't want to be. Sometimes it's because they can't be. Just a lot of the things of life that have come against motherhood and against family. Hannah wanted a baby with all of her heart. That was the cry of her heart. She didn't ask for riches or houses or farms or more things. She just wanted to be a mom. And she indicates that if she could be a mom, it would be the priority of her life. But she wouldn't do it alone. That she would invite God into that union. And moms, the number one thing you need to do is you need to make sure God is in your family. You need Him to orchestrate things. You need Him to be able to sort things out. You need Him to bring wisdom into situations where there's no wisdom. The questions that you have to answer that have no real answers. It's not always black and white. It's shades of gray and every color in between as you try to sort things out in your life for you and your family. And children need to be an eternal priority in your home, wrapped up with the instructions and the love and the presence of God. That's what makes it work. Now, some of you ladies will disagree with this, but getting them here is the easy part. It's spoken like a man, somebody would say, all right? Getting them here is the easy part. You know, once they're here, then begins the problems of life when it comes to children. My niece just had twins, and she had great difficulty in getting pregnant, and she went through a lot of procedures, and she finally was able, through the miracle of modern medicine, through in vitro fertilization, was able to have twins. And she and her husband have been married for a few years, and they're both educated and have good jobs, and they do well. And we went over to see them with the new babies, and everything is different. I mean, everything is different. Even if the baby in the house, which was their puppy dog, and you'll appreciate this, is relegated to some part of the house that, you know, where the children aren't. You know, the dog is not the king of the roost anymore. You know, there's a new game in town, and it's the children that are there. They change everything, and everyone who's had children will tell you that life changes. You don't know what life was like before children. You can't remember. But once they're there, it's a whole new ball game, and it stays with you all the days of your life. And those of us who are old enough have seen our children grow. We used to think, if we could just get them out of the house, we could go back to normal. That's not true. Not only do they come back, but they bring more with them. You know? They bring a husband or a wife or kids. And as a good friend of mine said, the two most beautiful sights in the world are the headlights on the car of your children as they bring your grandchildren to visit. And the taillights on the car when they're leaving. Life is never the same once children come into our lives. But they need to be a priority. And Hannah said that she would give them to the Lord for safekeeping. Moms, let me tell you something. You probably figured this out already, but if not, let me give you some insight. You can't take care of your children. You can feed them. You can give them instruction. You can make sure they're clothed. You can put a shelter over them. But you cannot take care of your children. They belong to God, and you need to entrust your children to God to watch over them. You don't have the strength, the wisdom, the ability to do it. But if you'll be a godly mom and a godly dad, let me put that in there, and turn your children over to the Lord, then you can see the possibilities of God moving in their lives. I was talking to Don Morales before the services, and we were talking about kids, and he said that he can never really rest until his kids are home. He said, and Matthew's here, so Matthew, don't mind me talking about him. It's too late. I'm going to do it anyway, Matthew, whether you care or not. He said, yeah. He said, I was up late last night just waiting for Matthew to get home. He said, he's 23, 24 years old, whatever it is. He said, but I still worry about it. You know, that's a lot of parents. We didn't worry in a hopeless sense, but in a good sense, that we're concerned about our children. And that goes on through all of their lives. We're always concerned about them and what's going on in their lives. But we need to turn them over to God. Hannah saw her son's life. She saw her son's life as more important than her own. You know, that's what motherhood does. You look at your kids and you say, you know, they're more important than me. You know, shaping their lives. How many times have you read and heard of people who said, if it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for my mom, doing this, you know, one thing after another. I am the man or the woman I am today because of my mom. There's a good friend of mine who, he wrote a book, and the title of his book was, I Was the Kid Your Mother Always Warned You About. No, that was the first line of the book. I Was the Kid Your Mother Always Warned You About. Said he was a bad kid. And he got into trouble beyond measure. Ended up in jail so many times, and he said that the only saving grace of his life, of that he was still alive, he said, I was a murderer, but I just wasn't very good at it. That's how bad his life was. But his mom had faith, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she always believed for Phil. And one day, in a crummy, heated, uncooled, hot, dank, solitary confinement in one of the toughest prisons in America, Phil picked up the Bible that his mother sent him. And he opened the Bible. And in that Bible, he discovered the glory of God. And the glory of God showed up and changed and transformed his life. In the worst place you'd ever want to be, God showed up. But God showed up because Mom was someplace believing and praying for Phil when everything in her life screamed, there is no hope, there is no hope, there is no hope. Moms, there's always hope when you pray and you raise your children on your knees. Because you care about them. Because they're a priority in your life. Now I realize that some mothers have difficulty being moms. Sometimes mothers are emotionally damaged. Sometimes life has hurt them so bad they just don't know. Maybe they had a bad childhood themselves. Maybe they came up in a home that didn't have a role model for them. They didn't have the little stereotype of some of the things that we showed in during the Extreme Home Makeover series of Father Knows Best or Happy Days. Didn't have that kind of environment. It wasn't Little House on the Prairie. You know, it wasn't a very good place to be. And maybe your mom and your dad didn't give you all that you need. And sometimes people have trouble being good moms because of that. Sometimes they can't be good moms because of divorce. Sometimes a man and a woman reach the point where they can't live together any longer for whatever the reasons may be. And we end up with a single mom or children going back from one family to another and, you know, living in one part of town with dad and another part of town with mom. And all that some of you know firsthand when I'm talking about going through all the trauma of that and the impact on kids. And mom can't be the mom she wants to be. You know, it's not that they don't care. It's just the inability to do what they want to do. Sometimes moms are just physically hampered. Sometimes drugs and alcohol have just taken over their lives. You know, one thing I've learned about those who have substance abuse, the ones that I've talked to at least, and they don't like it. They don't like that lifestyle, but they just have so much trouble getting out of it. And many times they have kids, and they would want to be a good mom, but they just, this thing has overpowered them, and they just can't do it. This guy, Phil, that I mentioned, he told me of a story when he was down in Puerto Rico, and he was, just bought some heroin, and he said I was in a filthy place. He said it was in a basement of a filthy house, he said, and they had one single light bulb hanging from the ceiling. And he said, I just put a tourniquet on my arm and filled up the needle and was inserting it into my veins, he said, and I looked up and I saw the cockroaches and the filth of where I was. And he said, God, I don't want to be here. And the only escape he knew was just to take the plunger and put it into his veins. That was his only escape that he thought, that he had. See, a lot of people are trapped in that. They can't get out. You know how you get out of that is only God can get you out of it. But it's just not that they don't want to be moms. It's just that they just can't. Maybe they've been abused. The statistics on abuse of women primarily and even men is unbelievable. Some of you probably sitting here may have been through that. And you know firsthand what I'm talking about and how it just hurts you as an individual. It damages you somewhere on the inside. And you want to do well, but you just, not able to do it. You've just been so wounded and so hurt. I want to go back to the answer for you. The answer for you is in Christ. There is no other way that I know of. I've been educated enough. I've got a minor in psychology. And I know some of it. I've read countless books about it, how to help people and all the counseling and all the things you can do. And I'm not against that stuff. But I'm telling you, the only thing that works is a relationship with Jesus Christ. When God is your priority and your children are your priority, and you get that settled, and it gives you the ability and the strength to do what it is to be a good mom. You need to remember to pray for those who you know that are suffering that way and hurting that way. Christ is the only healing that I really, really know of. Second thing I want to talk about this morning is that you become a good mom through your heart. Through your heart. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, which means heard by God, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. See, Hannah's heart was set on this thing. It not only was a priority, but she really got a heart in it. You know, it's one of the things that the Lord complained about with Israel and complains even to this day. You know, many times we go through things, the ritual of things, but our hearts are not in it. And God wants our hearts. I talked to you last week about the finances and giving, you know, and we get all tied up in the gotta give, gotta do, when God really wants our hearts. And if He gets our hearts, He gets all the other things along with it. And if God will get our hearts, our children will get our hearts. Where we let ourselves be melted on the inside. You know what some of us has done? A lot of women have done this. Put up barriers to our hearts. You've been hurt and disappointed and abused by maybe your own parents, maybe your own siblings, maybe other people, maybe your children have done it. And you've closed up your heart and you say, I won't get hurt like this again. No. You can't hurt me like this again. It comes a time when you got to open those doors to your heart. And the first thing you let into your heart is the Word of God and the presence of God. And you let Him be the guard over your heart. You let Him watch over you and your soul and your family and those things. And then when you open your heart to God, He'll let you be able to open your heart to your kids and to your family and to those you love and your husbands and your wives. Opening your heart is so vital. You know what happens when you open your heart? You become vulnerable. Especially if somebody's hurt you. You know, if they've disappointed you, if they've abused you emotionally in some kind of way, and you get so, it's like having a sore spot, you know, in your favorite. If you got a bad thing on your foot and you're always a little bit careful about it, you know. If you've got something in your elbow, you're always a little bit careful because you don't want to get it hurt because you know it's tender. And our hearts get that way. And we overreact in trying to protect ourselves. But I'm telling you what, we need to open our hearts. That's the most important thing we need to do, is open our hearts to let children and people in to where we are. You know one thing that's very hard to resist, probably the most difficult thing in the world to resist? And that's love. And that's what I'm really talking about. An open heart is a heart of love. That says, okay, I know we've failed here before, but let's give it one more try. And you might say, well, Pastor, how many times do I let this go on? Well, I'm glad that the Bible has the answer for that. Because somebody asked Jesus that question one day about forgiveness. And what was his answer? 70 times 7. You know what he was saying? That's the perfect number multiplied by the perfect number plus some. Some of you say 7 times 7 is 490. So I just get to 490 times and then I don't have to forgive anymore. Well, if you get that far, you know, you got other problems. But being willing. So what if I get hurt again? If Christ is there, he will take care of you in the midst of that. Now, I'm not talking about letting people run over you roughshod. I don't mean that. But when people are willing and they come and they really want to do well, to open your heart and let them in. Don't close yourself up, because if you do, a sense of remorse, bitterness, anger, all those things that are not fruits of the Spirit will come in and begin to control your very lives. Children need moms who will invest their lives in their children. Several things. Need to give them a vision of the future. Not your future, but their future. Don't try to live vicariously through your children. By that I mean, don't say, well, I wanted to be a singer or a piano player or a carpenter or an airline pilot, and I'm going to, you know, kind of live through my kids. That's not it at all. What you do is you know your kids and you talk to them and you help give them a vision. You say, what's on your heart? What do you see? What do you want to become? Where are your dreams? What do you want to be? And then you help them fulfill those dreams. It may be the same as yours, but it may not be. But you set a vision before them. You know what I've discovered? The bigger the vision you'll set before your kids, the better they'll do in life. If you set a little vision, that's all they'll see. Now, you just give the biggest vision that you can give. It may not be the biggest vision that someone else can give, but you give the biggest vision you can give. I was so fortunate to have a mother and dad who were not very well educated. My mother had an eighth grade education. She, as an adult later on, got a GED. And I remember she was very, very proud of that when she was able to do it. My dad had a formal education in fourth grade, so they didn't have much education. But they gave me a vision of something bigger than myself. I've repeated this so many times in my life, but it's a hallmark of me. My dad always said something to me that meant so much to this very day. He always said, son, you can do better than I've done. Not that he did bad, but he always said, you can do better. And you know, I went through my life believing that I could do better than my dad did. And I did better than my dad did in career-wise and every other-wise. But I did it because he gave me a vision that he can have. You know, his vision was for me to go to LSU. You know, I'd be, and as a matter of fact, if my memory serves me correct, I'm one of the very few people in a very, very large family that ever went to college. But it was my dad's vision that got me there. Now, I must confess that my dad's vision got me to LSU, and it was my vision that got me thrown out. Man! I didn't know how much fun you could have in my life until I got to LSU. Whoa! I'm not opposed to LSU, but boy, I tell you what, when you send your kids there, you put blindfolds on them and, you know, earmuffs, and just because it's a wild and crazy place. Doesn't have to be that way, but it was. And I discovered that it was a lot more fun to go out and have a party than it was to study. So after an appropriate amount of time, they said, adios, amigo. And they gave me the left foot of fellowship, the right foot of fellowship, and any other kind of disfellowship they could. And they sent me out. As it turned out, the vision that my dad planted in me didn't go away, because I ended up getting my degree from the University of Houston many, many years later, and I had to pay for it. Dad was paying the first time. I paid for it the second time. And he never said this, but deep down I could almost hear him saying, I told you so. But he never said it, but I just know that he was thinking that way. Giving him vision. Moms, give your children boundaries. They need to know where they can go and not go. They need to know that. I got a kick. We were invited to a wonderful birthday party last night. I was late getting there, but I went there. And little Gracie made 1 year old. And she's taking her first step. She started walking yesterday, right? And she was just so cute. They got fences in their house. I mean, fences. You got to step over them to get around. There are boundaries. Those are physical boundaries for the kids, all right? But when you need to set boundaries, and they don't necessarily need to be wooden fences, but there need to be principles that you can set up for them. They need to know what they can do and not do. They want to know. And you know what a kid will do for you, Mom? You probably figured this out. If that's the boundary, how close can I get to the boundary without Mom catching me? And every once in a while, they'll step over. But if you set the boundary here, you'll keep them from being over there. Set good boundaries. In fact, the Lord willing, the next several weeks, I intend to teach and preach a series of sermons about boundaries, setting good, godly boundaries in our lives. So we'll save that for next week. I'll talk to you about that some more. Give your kids a helping hand. Don't give them a handout. Help them. Help them become what God wants them to be. But don't give them everything. What my parents did to me would be considered child cruelty today. I went to work when I was in fifth grade. I wanted money to do stuff when I was that young. And my daddy said, you want money? You go to work. And there was a little grocery store. I think I told you this a couple of weeks ago. A little A&P grocery store. And there I went to work in fifth grade cleaning out the freezer on Saturday. And I made $5 and my mama took my $5 from me. Gave me 50 cents, I believe, something. And she didn't need the money. She was trying to teach me something. You know, but helping me become what I needed to be, but not putting me in a situation where I couldn't help myself. Setting principles and visions and boundaries and helping, all right? Now, this is very important. All your moms need to listen up. Grandmoms, too, all right? Dads, you can listen to. You need to love the children you have and not the children that you envision. You need to love the children you have and not the children you envision. Whatever vision you had in your mind about what your kids were going to be, that ain't going to happen. Forget about it. It doesn't exist. It's only fairy tales in a movie or in books. There's the reality of your kids. They are God's creation, made by God, ordained by God with their own special traits and abilities and character and looks that God ordained. The scripture says that before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God said, I knew you. God knew you. If you're such an important individual, moms and dads, what about your kids? Aren't they important? Aren't they individuals? Don't they have their own thinking ability? Can't they envision things for themselves? Let them be who God wants them to be under your divine guidance through the hand of God, but don't force them into some preconceived notion of what you think your kids ought to be. They are who God wants them to be, not necessarily who you want them to be. When my daughter was a teenager, and I lived through it, and Pat lived through it too. I mean, it's amazing. We did. You will survive it. Those of you who have teenagers, you will survive it. They may not survive it, but you'll survive it. We had a difference of opinion about the way things ought to be. And she knew the way I felt about things. And I've been known to because of my heritage, a good Italian heritage, and the way my dad brought me up, I knew how to put the hammer down when the hammer needed to be put down. But I put the hammer down too hard. I built the boundaries too tight. I didn't have enough love in it. I had a lot of rules and regulations, but I didn't have enough love in it. Not that I didn't care, but I just, you know, that's the way I came up, and that's what I thought you're supposed to do, but I was wrong. And when we finally had the end-all, be-all encounter that you could ever have between a child and a parent, and the realization because through that conversation was that I had not been the kind of loving, caring dad that I should have been, and somebody loved me enough, some adult person looked me in the eyes and said, you are not doing your job. You need to love that girl and stop giving her all the rules and regulations. She knows the rules. You need to love who she is, not what you wanted to be. And when I heard those words from that good friend of mine, boy, they pierced my very soul. It was like the words of God just speaking to me. And when I heard that, I said, you're right. And when I decided that day, well, I went back and saw my daughter and asked her to forgive me for the way I had treated and did. And I said, baby, from this day on, you are a priority in my life, second only to your mother. Everything in my life, my job, my business, the church, everything else is way down below you and your mom. And you know what happened? Changed everything. Changed everything. I started taking her out on dates. You know, I took her places. And I was smart enough to do things that the boys she knew couldn't do. Because they couldn't afford it, but I could. I took her on a date one time. My brother-in-law owned an automobile dealership. I went and got a new Corvette from him. Showed up with that car. Unfortunately, she thought it was hers to keep, but it wasn't. Man, but we peeled out of the driveway. Don't do this, anybody. Just strike this off the tape. I don't want to hear this. But I just let you know. Man, I laid rubber out of the driveway. Me and her were cool, boy, that little blue Corvette we had. I mean, it was something else. The only problem was we went one block and it broke down. So I had to take her out on a date on an old beat-up Mercedes. No, but that was okay. But I just did things that I knew the boys couldn't do. And she remembers those things. She remembers it because I changed from a guy of rules and regulations to a guy of love and cared about her. Not that the rules changed. She understood the rules. But I began to do things out of my heart instead of doing things out of my head and the way I felt things had to be. Love the children you have, not the children you envision. If you're in a situation where you didn't want children and you got them anyway, realize that they didn't ask for you either. They didn't ask for you either. And if God saw fit to give you a child, whether you wanted it or not, whether it's through the old joke, some of you old ex-Catholics around here, maybe some of you still in the Catholic Church, I don't know. They used to talk about rhythm. They said, you know what you call people who practice rhythm? That was a form of birth control. They called them parents. Because it didn't work. So if you had some of those rhythm babies, it's not that they know how to dance, you know what I'm talking about. You love them anyway. You love the children that God gives to you. They're a blessing. And maybe you got children in a way you didn't expect it. Maybe you ended up adopting children. You know? Or maybe you married somebody that had kids that are maybe not your biological children. Just love the children you got. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If I was doing marriage counseling with you before, if you were a family that had been married before and you had children, well, I'll tell you one of the biggest problems you're going to have to face is children. Because here's what happens. Here's the new dad. Here's the new mom. There's her children. And her children don't do it the way he thinks you ought to do it. He says, well, why don't you do it this way? And he begins to correct them. And she'll say, wait a minute, those are my kids. You can't talk to my kids that way. Well, right there, we got the seeds of real problems. All right? They need to be straightened out and controlled. So no matter how you ended up in the parenthood business, you need to love those kids, love God, and bring the vision of God into their lives. Amen? All right. Final thing I want to talk about this morning, the third thing, is you become a mom despite difficulties. You become a mom despite difficulties. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27-28. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And they worship the Lord there. The first order of business with children is not diapers, but dedication. Dedicating your children to the Lord. Have you given your kids to the Lord yet? You need to. You know, we have, in our particular Protestant bent, we don't have christening for babies, but we have dedication. Dedicate a child to the Lord. And you'll say, well, my kids aren't little babies anymore. You can't hold them and dedicate them to the Lord. I don't care how old they are. You want to dedicate your kids to the Lord? Get them up here. We'll dedicate them. You put a chain on them and drag them in if you have to. You know, we'll dedicate them to the Lord. It's never too late to dedicate your children to the Lord. so that he can have control over their lives. See, beloved, the most important thing in your life is not what you think and what you believe. It's what God thinks and what God believes. And you need to turn your kids over to the Lord, because I told you earlier, you can't do anything with them yourself anyway. Some of you know that. And you've learned that. But you turn them over to God and let God raise them through you the way that He wants to. That's what Hannah was willing to do. Children will pierce your heart. It's not always happy days. It's a sad thing to say, but it's true. But that's what being a mom's all about. So being a dad's really all about. It's even on the worst day to keep on keeping on and be the parent and not the child yourself in the way that you think. You love your kids even though things don't always go well. They won't always go well. There is no magic marker or wand that you wave and everything's wonderful. You show me a person who has perfect children, and I'll show you a person who couldn't tell trouble if it hit him in the head. There are no perfect children. It's like there are no perfect parents. But we work it out according to God's plan. And that's what we need. We need moms who are willing to do that even in difficult times. You're going to get those phone calls you don't want. Is this the parent of Joe, Mary, whoever it is? And say, yeah, I said, well, this is Sergeant so-and-so with the St. Tammany Police Department. You don't want that phone call. You don't want it. You have to deal with it. Your neighbor calls you up. Do you all have a blue Mustang with a dent in the front fender? There's a blue paint on my mailbox. By the way, kids, this is for you. Your parents always find out stuff. They always know. It's one of those things God does for us parents. He tells us everything. So how did you find that out? God just tells us. Because He knows we need to know. He makes sure that we're well informed. And my kids always said, how did you know that? Because God told us. You can't get away with anything. Let your kids be kids. Put the boundaries that are age appropriate. Put the discipline that's age appropriate to your kids. Don't expect a 2-year-old to do what you'd expect an 8-year-old to do. And don't expect a 16-year-old to do what a 6-year-old does. You need to be wise about those kinds of things. And you might say, Pastor, nobody ever told me. I don't know about that kind of stuff. You know, I didn't grow up in a home. Nobody ever said anything. And I hear you saying stuff this morning, but how do I do that? I'm so glad you asked that question. Because we have things at the church to help you. We had a parenting seminar, one of the best things I've ever been to. And we're going to have it again. So next time we have it, you can show up and you'll learn some things. We're going to have a marriage seminar starting in June that you can go to, where some of these items will be covered. Say, well, I'm busy in June. Well, just keep beating yourself in the head with that hammer if you like it. But if you want somebody to help you get the hammer down, I'm telling you, we're putting it out there for you to try to help you in those areas. You know what, friends? Let me tell you something. You need to know this. Forgive me. Let me step over here. I'm not behind the pulpit anymore. I'm just old Morris, you know? Just old Mario, as my dad used to call him. Preaching's not going to change your life. I don't have enough time to give you enough information in the preaching service to change your life. I could hopefully inspire you to think a little bit. But if you want to learn life-changing skills, you're going to have to do what you do when you go to school. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to spend time. It takes time and energy to learn the skills that we need to know. You know what we ought to do? We ought to make school that the first 8 years, there's no reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's all about mamas, daddies, and babies, and finances. And then you'd be better equipped to live this life. We spend too much time educating you things that don't mean a hill of beans in the long scheme of things, and we never learn the skills that we need to be good moms and dads and children and servants of the Most High God. So if you want to learn, you got to go to a class. You got to spend time doing that. These are difficulties that keep mothers from being moms. They can't be moms because you're just too busy. Life is just too busy. If you're here this morning and you say, boy, you have just nailed me. Well, I'm going to tell you what to do. It's time to change your life. Well, I can't change my life. Well, get the hammer out and keep beating yourself in the head. You know, you really don't need all the things and all the stuff that you think you need. You need to put some brakes on our lives. You need to take some time to be a parent, a husband or wife, and get out of this crazy rat race that we're living in our families, because we're just driving ourselves slap crazy. Some mothers can't be moms because they didn't have a role model. Well, I tell you what, if your parents weren't role models, find one. Find a role model. Find a godly woman. Find a godly man and to begin to learn what it is. You can learn. As long as you know your name, you can learn. If you don't know your name, okay, I'll give you a bye. But if you wake up in the morning and you say, my name is, and if you can say that, there is hope for you. Some mothers can't be moms because they lost their children. Tragedy of tragedies to lose a child. I've got to say a test this week. This coming Tuesday, to preach a sermon for a mom and dad who lost their son. 42 years old, unexpectedly, nothing wrong with him. Lay down on a mattress in his living room, had a bowl of popcorn on the side, and died, wrapped in a blanket. Just like that. This is not a very happy Mother's Day for that mom. Some of you may be here, had the same thing. You may have lost a child. It's really hard for you sometimes, and I understand that. The only thing that can get you through it is the love of God to bring you through those hard, hard things in life. And I understand that. Some of you lost your children to the world. The world just grabbed your children. Some of you may not even know where your kids are. Circumstances and situation have divided you. And you want to be a mom, but you can't. These are the things that you bring to the Lord. You know, there's a question in the Old Testament. It says, is there a balm in Gilead? Talking about, is there a healing for our soul? And there is. The answer to that question is yes. But it comes in the prescription bottle of the Word of God in Jesus Christ. That's the healing that comes for our lives. If you can't be the mom you want to be, maybe you can try being the mom that you can be. Maybe there are some alternative solutions. One of the things that we're going to do, and we're working on it right now, is to begin to do something with the foster children in our community. As a church, we're going to do that, okay? And we might be bringing some foster kids around here for special events, and maybe some young kid, some little girl, just needs a woman to be with her and be a little friend for her. Maybe take one out and buy him some clothes. Well, this lady who came here a couple of weeks ago talked about maybe just take them to a hairdresser and get their hair done. Maybe just get their nails done. Maybe take a boy out on a camping trip. Maybe just being there for him and play a little ball in the front yard. A little fish and catch. Maybe just take him out in a little pond and put a fishing line in water. Maybe they've never had that. And that's things that you can do. You don't have to take a child home with you to live like some families have been able to do. But you can just take them home in your hearts and help as much as you can. Be the mom that you can be. I know I've just skimmed the surface here, moms. And I hope this helps you. I've tried to give you a sermon this morning that wasn't the stereotypical, everything's wonderful and peaches and cream, because it's not. But we can do what we can do with what we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So in closing, decide to be a mom this year. Make mom being a mom a priority. Let your heart be in it. And then learn how to overcome difficulties as best you can. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.